I will give you my take on the conference. I would not pretend to speak for the NGO movement, which is wide and diverse, and certainly not for the people. But I was there, and I was in Rio 1992 and had the opportunity to contrast the two. And I think that it is important to focus on the positive. I accept that. I accept that the marching orders you've given us are to focus on the positive side, and I think there's a lot to say that's worthwhile. I agree with most of what I've heard from my fellow panelists. But I think it might be most useful if I were to kind of step back a little bit and give some perspective on how I see it, not from the machine room of the negotiations, not from the compromises that were made, but from the standpoint of an NGO committed to sustainable development and really determined to find the best pathways forward towards it. But I think it is important that you have asked us to be positive. Barbara Ward, back in 1972, in the conference that led to the establishment of UNEP, formulated the principle that we have a duty to hope. And I firmly believe in that. I think that we have a duty to put all of our energy into positive channels to try and make a difference. But I think there's a corresponding duty to keep our eyes open and not to be fooled by flowery statements of self-congratulation that you hear around these international events. And I think we have to remember that a glass half full is also a glass that's simultaneously half empty. And you can look at the content if you want, but it doesn't change the proportion or the volume, nor does it tell you anything about the nature of the liquid inside the glass. So we are faced with this sort of aftermath of Rio. A lot of us, not me particularly, but a lot of us were deeply involved in the process, deeply involved in trying to make a success of something that, as Lucas said, was the right conference at the wrong time. Something that was established, that was agreed because it was the 20th anniversary, not because we felt we were ripe for a breakthrough on sustainable development. And so the world community set about to make the best of it. And as you said, Vesa, in the opening, the outcome is an indication of where we are today. It's an indication of ambition matched with political reality. And I agree with that. That's where we are today. I think it's a very sobering statement, because if that's where we are today, we have a long way to go and we're in some trouble, given the nature of trends. So I think it might be more useful to look at not what ways Rio fell short, but more what it tells us about multilateral process, what it tells us about the options for moving forward. Because I think if there's one thing everybody agrees on, it's that there are some very disturbing trends out there that we absolutely must address, and that we must address as a world community. It's no good going back to our little backyards and pottering away in the garden. I think there are things that we absolutely must do, and that means we must find the right way to do them. So Nicole said, I think that there's no alternative to multilateralism. I agree with that. An awful lot of the problems that we're trying to address out there simply cannot, with the best will in the world, be addressed by individual governments, nor by communities, nor by the private sector. We have to come together to do that, to address them. So there is no alternative. But at the same time, if you actually honestly look at the past 20 years at intergovernmental processes, merely intergovernmental processes, and say, you know, what's the success rate? How well have we done? We've invested X effort. What is the return on that investment? And I think it'd be hard not to come to the conclusion that there's something badly wrong with the approach and the process, because it's yielding not only limited returns, but diminishing returns. And we sit here in the halls of the WTO, so I know that you know what I'm talking about. And it's not unique to the WTO. It's not unique to Rio. It's if you look at the climate change process, if you look at any number of global intergovernmental processes aimed at reaching a consensus, something has gone wrong. Something isn't working with the system. So you can say, well, does that mean that we throw multilateralism out the window? No, it's a very complex thing. And you have to ask yourself, where is it not working? because it is actually working in a number of other places. So I would say that where it's not working is in processes that are designed to address global issues through a global consensus process among governments, and on issues that are either extremely broad or which require, frankly, restructuring of the way our economies work to address them. And that's what we were up against in Rio. You needed everybody on board, all 193 countries, and you needed them to agree on things that frankly amount to a shift in the way the economic system works. It amounts to a need to address the equity imbalances that we see on our planet. And I think that if we set out to do that in the present circumstances, it's not going to work. Why did it work before and not work now? Well, it worked before to some extent because we had a leading group, the OECD, that could essentially set the agenda and then deal with the different regional groups to reach a consensus. But it was a consensus that they essentially defined. That's not working anymore. The G77 as a bloc isn't holding together as well as it used to. The emerging countries are emerging, but they don't represent a negotiating bloc. They represent a very impressive economic and political force, but they don't have common positions, and to a large extent, they don't even have common interests. So, what can we conclude from that? We can conclude that until we're ready seriously to address the equity agenda, to address international processes that lead to a narrowing of the gap between the rich countries and poor countries, that lead to a narrowing of the gap between rich and poor within countries, that there's going to be a resistance to going forward with this kind of process. Now, several of you, and I'm delighted by this because I've been to other Rio events that haven't mentioned this, underlined the fact that despite the difficulty with the intergovernmental process, there was a huge amount of energy out there. I attended meetings of the Global Compact, of the Business and Sustainable Development Day. I went to the IIED program. I participated in the ICTSD program. And I missed many, many others. I wandered around the exhibition room, attended seminars, went to lectures, and one thing that was common through all of those is that there was an incredible amount of energy, an incredible avalanche of ideas out there, a huge amount of innovative thinking. And so what we've got is a dilemma. We've got on the one side an intergovernmental process that's run into the ditch. It's spinning its wheels. It's not that it doesn't yield anything positive. I think everything you've said is right. There's good stuff there. I think the outcome on the green economy is very positive. I'm excited by the sustainable development goals and hope that they survive New York. I think that there's a lot in there that we can build on, and we ourselves, my institute, is going to build on some of the outcomes from Rio. So let's be clear about that. But I think that if we really want to go forward, we have to find a way of, we need to find a process that can somehow harness that energy that's evident in Rio, and to be quite frank, would never come together in one place unless there were events like Rio. And I think that's an important thing to say. You can't just write off Rio and similar events, because where would this community get together? Where would they try and find common ground? But I think what it means also is that we're way past the age where governments essentially take all the decisions that matter. And we go on with this type of intergovernmental process as if the world hadn't changed, as if it was still 1946 and we're in Lake Placid or in San Francisco. The world has fundamentally changed. So the role of the market, the role of private sector initiative, the role of civil society, we all know that. But somebody mentioned, I think, again, Nicole, it was you, that some of the greatest energy is coming out of the public sector, but not at national level. So it's happening in mega cities and the networks being formed, the regions that are coming together to cooperate, the whole area of subnational jurisdictions, or even at the government level, what you can do at the regional level, and whether it's not more sensible to start with building blocks at the regional level and build those up to a global consensus. I think there's room now for a huge amount of experimentation. What I would say is that we really shouldn't invest our energy anymore in the Rio type process, despite all the positive things that came out of it, because I think the returns are too low. And instead, we should invest our energy and our creativity and all of our efforts and our partnerships and our networks to trying to find an alternative that really does bring together the creativity and the contributions of those different sectors, that figures out where we can make progress on essential issues and build on that. And things that aren't ready, we take the time and the patience necessary to mature them to the point where they are ready. And I think that if we move forward on that basis, if we put our efforts into that, we are a big and powerful community. There is a huge amount of goodwill behind there. I don't think it's beyond us to find solutions in that area. The final thing I'll say is that, and that this applies very much to the Sustainable Development Goals, I think it's a very important process. I think the experience of the Millennium Development Goals shows that clear objectives that allow the international community to focus on a few doable things is a very, very good discipline. But the Sustainable Development Goals, like the Millennium Development Goals, will only work successfully if there's a strong accountability framework built around them. Because the one thing we've learned in the international world is that it's extremely easy to promise things, and nobody expects you really to deliver them. So a lot of effort is put into formulating promises and very little effort into implementing the results. So if we do go forward, I think we should go forward within a very strict accountability framework that says who's going to do it, by when, with what money, and what happens if you don't. And I think if we are able to do that, to build stronger accountability, we'll build faith again in the international system, and that we can then move forward beyond some of these roadblocks. I'll leave it there.